What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Quality Time TV Show. You already don't know who it is, so I'm going to introduce myself. I go by the name of DJ Deem. What's good, y'all? And who else we got in here? Where my co-host at? Where you at?
The BX is in the building.
Queens get the money.
Bronx, take that shit. Now let me stop. Bronx
is in the building. What's up? It's your boy Lord. If you don't know now, you know the truck. Now I'm not gonna do that. That's only for special occasions. Don't worry. Y'all get the
AKs
too.
It's not a holiday today.
Right? It's not a holiday today. So we got an extra special guest on the show. Introduce yourself, my man.
Yes, we do got a very special guest, man. We got I've seen this dude on IG. I've seen him play the drums a couple times on IG, and then I saw him actually live for the first time. I think it was about a month ago, Puerto Rican Day Parade, right? Over by the Adidas store, man. I was blown away by this guy, man. It was an amazing experience to witness it. And we got Anthony Anderson in the building. What's good, bro?
What's good, brody? Thank you guys. Thank you guys for quality time. Thank you guys for having me. It's truly a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it a lot. Word. But let's hop into these topics, because as everybody knows, we don't have a lot of time. Try and pull up the YouTube stream. My bad for everybody that's on YouTube right now. We're gonna get to y'all in a second. Over on IG though. Oh, hold on. Shout out to everybody that is on IG though. I see all y'all. Hey Chrissy, what's up? Iron Lion Zion was good. Rim Castro was good.
Hold on. Iron Lion Zion gotta get a better intro than that. This nigga. your number one fan is back. Shout out, Mr. Zion.
All right, Zion. Hyper was good. DJ Hyper, thank you for tuning in, man. So the first thing we're gonna get into right now is why does artists' personal lives affect their music careers? And this was because of something that came up recently yesterday with the artist Lil Nas X. He came out and tweeted, some of y'all already know, some of y'all don't care, some of y'all not gonna fuck with me no more, but before this month ends, I want y'all to listen closely to Closure. And then he puts a rainbow heart and then like star eyes and everything. So he also put out another picture where he took a picture where he took a screenshot of his album cover and then said, I thought I made it obvious for you guys. So he basically came out yesterday. We're not going to get into that, but there's a bigger issue here. As we were going through some of the comments on Instagram, a lot of people were saying that it was going to hurt his career. But why is it that artists' personal lives affect their music careers? Why is it that we put them in these positions where things they do at home affects how much success they have in their career? Anthony, I want to know your opinion on this. Why do you think that it affects them so much?
Honestly, I feel that with that being said, with the whole with artists and letting their personal lives out, with just telling their story. You know, we utilize as artists, everyone here, we're all artists, creatives, producers, directors, we all have our own individual story. With that being said, we want to showcase that. We want to let that be out there. We want to do it for our own personal reasons, but also to tell and to relate and to inspire and to encourage people that you can be whoever it is you want to be and you can do whatever it is that you want. There is a lot of positive that comes with that, but there's also a lot of negative. With that being said, majority of the people, you know, you have, you know, internet trolls, you have people that just, you know, post and comment negative things on everybody's thing, whatever it is. You know, you could be doing something positive, someone will come and just comment something negative. You know, that's just the way that it is. But when it becomes more of an affecting thing with us as artists, sometimes we tend to either let it get to us or we have a reason to just want to see what people have to say. For me personally, I've gotten to the point where I don't really care what people have to say. Before, I was always there of being mindful of just trying to, you know, do the right thing and say the right thing and just be myself. But I also felt like, you know, I wasn't really being myself because I was holding back a lot. You know, for instance, I've finally came to a comfort zone where I can speak and tell my story. You know, a lot of people don't know I am one of 19 siblings. You know, my mom and my dad at one point were addicted to drugs and alcohol. All of that, I wanted to keep that away from everything I was doing, you know, but with that, I had to realize all with everything that happened within the past and who I am today would not have built me and direct me in the position that I am here today. So with that being said, you have artists like Lil Nas X, you have everybody who is trying to utilize their platform to tell their story. You know, it took him a while to even come about to even do this. You know, who knows about his own personal feelings or what other situation he had been through in order for him to realize that he is the way he is, that he's comfortable with what he is. You know, a lot of people tend to not showcase that, or they're afraid, they're intimidated, they're always worried about what other people are going to say. But then you have, if you look at the bright side, if you look at this is a way of to encourage people. You know, some people can take it as, you know, oh wow, he came out, that's amazing. You know, someone can take it who's not like that or who is holding something back, can be like, if he came out, damn, I love his music, makes me want to just, you know, just be real with myself, be real and authentic, to just be like, you know, I can accept that. If he can accept that, I can accept that no matter what, you know. But it really is a positive and a negative in the same situation. But so, it really depends on how we as artists let it affect us.
I like what you're saying. So you're saying that it's more than the music. You got to tell your story as an artist. And with him doing this, people aren't really expressing themselves beyond just something like this. You know, like, you have your story, I got my story, I'm sure Lil got his story. But you know, just be able, it can definitely be a positive and negative. Lil, what's your take on it? Why do you think that this happens a lot of times in the music industry?
Honestly, like he was saying, well, off what he was saying, deep down, every artist want to be loved. At the end of the day, every artist is kind of insecure at the end of the day. Like, we're, this is our baby. You feel what I'm saying? This is our baby that we're submitting to the world for judgment. So everybody's always going to be sensitive when it comes to that. But, like, when it comes to separating art from the music, from the artist, like, it's not too difficult for me, like, me personally, like Vybz Kartel, my favorite reggae artist, I'm not even gonna say what he might have did. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. He might have did it, he might have not did it, but I'm able to separate that, so I can still listen to his artist without being like mad at what he's done in life, allegedly. You feel me? And what you were saying about everyone trying to tell their story is true. It's just, I'm kind of, this topic in particular, I'm kind of like on the fence on two sides with, because I'm like, it shouldn't really fucking matter. Like, to me, one thing I see all the time is like, oh my God, he's so brave. Why the fuck is he brave? Like, you feel me? No, he's just a regular person. Like, maybe if we stop looking at it like, yo, these people are so brave and reinforcing the stereotype reinforcing, like pushing them out to the edges of society by calling them out when they just do something normal, like be like, I'm gay or some shit. He shouldn't even have to fucking come out. Like he said, right. I felt like I made it.
I made like, it obvious. You feel
me? Like, so like, yeah. I don't know. Like people shouldn't worry so much, but at the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's entertainment, and people are going to judge you regardless, because maybe it's a break from their life or their boredom or whatever, so now they got you to judge and pick at and make fun of or whatever and dissect. So I don't think it's even like, I don't think it's done purposefully. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it's the judgment as far as like personal life and art and not being able to separate it. I don't think it's done purposefully. I think it's just all part of the game of it all. Like you're in this industry, you got this spotlight on you, you're gonna have a magnifying glass over every single thing you do. People are going to break it down, dissect it, and a lot of times it's because they're interested in you. You feel me? They wouldn't be talking, they wouldn't be doing all this research, finding all this shit out if they weren't actually interested in you. So it's kind of like a gift and a curse. Like, it one on one side of it helps your brand, it helps your exposure, it helps you get your message across and people to know the real you, which is what artists want at the end of the day. That's why they put their art out. But it also comes with that negative light of every little person's opinion. Like, and that's why Russ, with his comments from Joe Budden interview, when he was like, everyone's opinion is invalidated. Like, I live my fucking life by that. And it might sound arrogant, but it's like, who the fuck cares how you feel? You feel what I'm saying? As long as you're not actually like physically trying to stop me or like impede my progress, like, I don't care about you. You could hate me, you could like me, whatever, nigga, but I'ma still live, I'ma still take care of who I gotta take care of, and I'ma still do what I gotta do. So like, at the end of the day, me and you don't have nothing. If you was being successful, if you was on your game, you wouldn't have nothing bad to say about me, because successful people, like he said, people on the Forbes list don't talk shit about other people that's successful. Like, you feel me? They don't even have time to. Like, they don't have time to. They worried about other shit.
They're focused on themselves because they gotta grow. Over in the chat, real quick. Newborn, what's going on, man? Thanks for tuning in. Iron Lion Zion 45 says, "I got love for Lil Nas X. Be strong and lead the movement and start the chain." He also says, "Free world boss." And then shout out to Karma Unfiltered. Hey, Shoots, for tuning in. What's good? Karma Unfiltered says, "100." He agreed with what you said. Iron Lion Zion said, "Like what Lil Pump said, he's a millionaire, he doesn't know how to read." Hey, I mean if you're making it work, you're making it work. At the end of the day, I think that's what matters. And my take on this situation is that us as fans of artists, we put artists on this really high pedestal, and it's like we look up to them as if they're gods. And as soon as they slip up and do one thing, it's like, oh my God, I cannot believe that they did this. I'm throwing out all their CDs. I'm throwing out all, but you got to realize most of the times you didn't fall in love with them. You fell in love with their art. And that's why I feel like we have to learn how to start separating the art from the artist, because a lot of art is going to be lost. And like we said in past episodes, sometimes this art is going to save somebody's life. It's going to change somebody's life. And if we keep on saying, all right, Let's. I hate to use it as an example, but let's use R. Kelly as an. I'm gonna go to Bill Cosby as an example. Granted, we know what Bill Cosby did, but a lot of people.
No, we don't know what he did.
I don't know. I'm not part of it. But what I'm saying is, people looked up to Bill Cosby as a father figure at times,
right?
And if we're stripping that away, then somebody's losing that father figure that they probably never had.
Yeah.
And that goes to music, that goes to film, that goes to all of this stuff. And I think we just need to learn how to separate that. Like, if this is what Lil Nas X wants to do with his career at this point in time, all right. But you know what? He's the fastest artist to go diamond ever.
That is so true. He was number one in Billboard for 12 weeks straight. That is insane.
He beat Eminem. He beat Michael Jackson. He beat Drake. Come on, man. Come on.
That's insane. Yeah. just to lighten the mood real quick, Iron Lion Zion said that opening with that awesome drum set has to be the dopest shit I've seen since I saw my cousin put Sonic and Knuckles on top of Sonic 3. This nigga's stupid.
That was this man right here. That was this man right here. Yo, y'all gotta see this dude live. It's different. It's different in real life. We gonna talk about something like that soon too. Definitely gonna talk about that. But
Nah. Everything you said was factual, bro.
But then you also gotta look at it. You also gotta look at it like this too. For me, I'm really straightforward. I'm really straight to the point. It really goes down like this. If you're doing something good, and if you know you're consistent and you're working, you're doing it. If you're not doing anything at all, if you're not doing anything that's gonna get people's attention, people are not gonna fuck with you. You know, people are gonna hate regardless. People are gonna do this, that, and the third. You know, people have their own opinions about everything. You know, good, bad, whatever, how you take it. You know, I see it as like, yo, if you're not making any noise, people will have a reason to complain. Will have this, that, you know, say their own opinion about stuff. You know, you gotta really just be consistent. And with that being said, Little Nas, he deserves everything that's coming his way, you know? No matter what, he's doing it just as much as I'm doing it. The make noise, you know? Make noise. If you're not making any noise, that's it.
That's people true. Wrong.
That's it.
That's true.
You know, it's funny, like, in that same interview with Russ, Joe was speaking of something similar, but he said it differently, where he was like, negative publicity is kind of funny, because he said for like 3 or 4 years he rode negative publicity, like, to the point where he was able to figure out a new game plan, and then once he figured that out, them niggas kept him relevant from talking shit about Pump It Up for 5 years and making memes and shit. So now when he dropped with the podcast joining the talk shows, it blows up because he's still relevant, even though he hasn't dropped a song in how long. So it's weird. Like, it's like you said, regardless, people gonna hate, but you just gotta know to just do your own thing. Like, fuck what they say. Like, at the end of the day, somebody hating never took anything away from you. Maybe some self-esteem or some self-confidence, maybe.
Absolutely.
But other than that, like, fuck it. Fuck
but then,
right.
But then people are waiting for you to slip up.
Right. Yeah. And then look at the bright side. If you wouldn't be doing anything at all, they wouldn't have a reason to hate. They have a reason to hate, you know? Exactly. You're doing something.
People are waiting. It's true. Mean, you look at Drake when he had the Pusha beef. Everybody was waiting for that one thing. Oh, Drake got a baby. Oh my God. Look at Jay-Z on the elevator with Solange. Oh snap. Jay-Z's getting pie. Oh my God. Like, they're just looking for that one thing. And you know, I think it's for Lil Nas X, it's this. And now people are saying, oh, his career is over. Clearly it's not.
It's not. Nah.
I mean, he dropped that song and had a couple millions of views in one day. I don't see anybody else doing that.
Right. He might set the new trend, because like we were talking about earlier, I expected more from like Frank Ocean. You feel me? After he made his announcement, I didn't think he would just disappear the way he did. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was really hoping it wasn't some industry bullshit, like they tried to sideline him. But Lil Nas X, I don't see, like, he's relevant. He has the public's attention. And like, he's just, it's not like he's focusing on who he is. You feel what I'm saying? Or he's making that the highlight of what he's doing. Like, it's the music that
and you're, then even, you're drawn to. Even look at this. He's targeting every market, whatever you put it. How he's in every market within his music, his style, the way he presents himself. You know, everything. You look at it, it's dope. He has like I heard for the first time. I heard his EP, and every song was not only different, but it was great. There was this one track that sounded like it was like trap, but like it sounded like it would belong on Disney Channel. But it was hot. I was like, yo, this is different. But I was like, all right.
I don't even think he knows what he's doing with his music, because you're right.
Facts.
It's true, bro. So it's like he's targeting every market. He has the little kids. He has the adults. He has, you know, he's gravitating a lot.
Yo, now that you bring that up, you I almost forgot because I was like, yo, I have to bring this up next episode. You are right about the adults. Guys, I do not make this up. Everybody that is tuned in, this is a true story. Saturday, I am DJing a baby shower. There's this wow. man who is probably about 70 or 80 years old, but the man had moves. Like, he was on the dance floor getting it in. I threw on Old Town Road. This old man knew the words.
See what I mean? It's catchy, bro. That one track, when he came out with it, it was catchy. It's every line, bro, is it's literally the length of the song is probably like 2 minutes, mm-hmm. but it's catchy. 2 minutes yep. that will gravitate your attention. Even little kids, bro, they go on YouTube and binge on his video.
Yep. It's and now amazing, clearly man. the senior citizens are too, man. Yeah. I'm just saying, man. We got seen a lot. We ain't seen a lot of artists do that. Over on IG, hey. Shout out to Masisi Baby for tuning in. Newborn said he strategically did what he did, and he's talented. I have no problem with him. Salute to the kid. But, you know, even speaking about the soul, man, you know, and its catchiness, it kind of goes into our next topic because we wanted to get into this topic of instruments versus computer production. And I just want to pull up this tweet real quick. And it's from Madlib, and he said, I made all the beats for Bandana on my iPad.
And, first and foremost, one, I'm about to buy an iPad. Two, Google is my best friend because I need to figure out how to make my own beats. Yo, listen, that Russ interview, when I told you earlier, like, that shit was crazy. He dropped mad gems. Like, yeah. I'm really here, like, yo, I'm slacking. I was supposed to have this many songs. I should know how to make beats, mix, master. Nigga, like, it's the mixing and mastering parts and making beats part that, and recording. Like, I need that. And there's so much ways for us to do this shit. It's
crazy. There's a perfect example. He's on here making beats on an iPad. Right. And then on top of that, he made the No Parties and No Parties in LA beat on his iPad too, bro. I would have never.
Wait, hold on. Kanye?
No more parties in LA. Please, baby, no more parties in LA. Word? Yo, like what?
How he used samples and all that?
Yeah. I don't know what program he's using, but iPad got some app now that's fire.
Don't gas Apple products. You need that check.
But, you know, the question is, now we were surprised to hear this, like these beats were made on an iPad, and you know they had so much vibe, they had soul on it. You look at producers like Jay Dilla, and you listen to Jay Dilla beat, and you're like, yo, I could feel like what he was doing on here. But what's the difference between that and then a live instrument? Like, what's your take on it? What's the difference between real instruments and audio production, Anthony?
For me, audio production and live instrumentation can obviously overpale that. For me, my mission, my accomplishments, my motive is to bring back live music within the music industry itself. You know? So with that being said, I personally feel that a lot of the time audio production is taking over. Right, mm-hmm. it's being produced. It's out there. It's definitely everyone is utilizing that, but you can't take away the live portion of it. You know, there's nothing more than a live band, live drums, live guitar, anything with instruments, because you need that live feeling of just. What is the purpose of coming to represent or see an artist? You know, mm-hmm. there's obviously two different ways. You know, we purchase their music online and we get the feel of listening to their tracks. But when you go to a concert, and if it's the same thing, it kind of just it does. There's not really a difference. You know what I mean? But if you had, say, like you go to say like you see Lil Nas X, and if he had like a live drummer with a DJ. Oh, hell yeah. That's dope, because that's not really being done before. It's not really out there as what you can really see it. You know, for me, I've been in bands. I've been in, you know, multiple different occasions where I've played with a lot of musicians, I've never really gotten the opportunity. I know how to do it, but I've never really gotten the opportunity of working within audio producing, you know? So with drums, I can feel that I'm naturally gifted for that. Like, if you give me an audio pad, I'll work the shit out of it. I'll figure it out, but I'll make a beat in like a second. Figure it out, you know? But with live drums, there's so much energy, feel, dynamics, everything that you can put in all in one, just to have someone get that experience of just, wow, what the fuck, you know? Because once the thing is separated, you know the difference. Live music, audio producing, you even merge them together. That's pretty awesome as well. Like with me, I'm constantly learning and I'm constantly listening, really observing with just learning music, you know, or learning people's songs or even twisting it. You know, I love to just say, for instance, you've seen me perform.
Yeah.
I don't know half of the songs. Or what? I don't know half of the songs because they're just thrown sporadically. You know, it's not like I might have learned it or heard it before off, you know, the radio or any of the artists. But when it's different, genres thrown at you and you're just like, oh shit. Like,
you're just feeling it.
Yeah. Feel, man.
You can only describe it as a feeling. That's it.
A different feel. And for me, I tend to just, you know, put my passion and letting everything out. You know, I could be mad as hell about something what's going on with me personally. Once I get behind those drums, I'm letting that shit out on those drums. And then people will know, like, damn, okay, it's all being put there. But I feel, for me, audio producing, I think it's like kind of like the easy way out. It's really easy to do if you really spend your time doing it, you know? It's like tapping. It's like making a beat on a table. I use those same references. But if you use it on a pad or a drum set, it's you see the technicality. You see the difference within what you got to really put in. The pattern, the technicals with, you know, how do you work the snare and the bass drum and the hi-hats all at the same time. But really, audio producing, you got four different pads where you can just do all of that within like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I 100% agree with you. Like, the way how I see it with audio producers. See, my take on the difference between real instruments and then audio production is real instruments, you're really able to put a feel in there that you wouldn't be able to do with live, but with audio production. However, on audio production, you're able to do something that you can't do with live instruments. And that is actually create art with sound, where it's people are going to hear things that they won't be able to hear at a live show. For example, panning. Like, you ever listen to a song, you got your headphones in, and it feels like the music's going around in your head. You don't really get that at a live show. So, you know, there's going to be different elements to all of that. But as you said, when you're performing in front of somebody, it's a different feeling. I'm going to go to DJing, because a lot of people don't realize that DJs are actually, we're instrumentalists. We're musicians. Just because we're playing songs, we're not just playing songs. We're actually telling you a story, believe it or not. The best DJs know how to tell a story, right? Absolutely. You could tell.
DJ,
yeah, you could tell because it sounds seamless. Like, you don't know when the next song is coming. You're like wondering, how did they blend a reggae song with this hip hop song and then go into a rock song? Like, a lot of that stuff is it takes talent. It takes knowing the music. It takes knowing keys, BPM, all of that.
Yeah,
so
BPM tempos is hard.
It is.
To merge and to find the right track to get that same tempo. Trust me, I can only imagine what it's like, dude.
but it's fun at the end of the day, you know, if you enjoy what you do, it's fun. But it gets to a point when you do it so many times, it's like you're speaking to the audience with music. And it's like, I could tell you something, and you know I'm telling you something, but you hear it through music.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this ability to know what song to play at the right time. It's called timing. Like, you gotta be on it. It's like, boom, this is gonna fit in here. Boom, this is gonna fit in here. This is gonna fit in here. It's more than just being able to count to four. It's like knowing when that audience is gonna need that song at that right time. And that's something that you get with live that I can't do on a recording. I can't fill that out for you. So that's my take on real instruments versus like audio production. What about you, Lord? What's your take on it, man?
Like I was telling y'all earlier, from an artist perspective, like when I'm performing, like I've never been able to perform with a live band yet. Like I was supposed to.
Yeah, I remember. Obviously. Yeah.
Oh, supposed to actually get on the drums and shit. Him and his mans, but we never actually got a chance to link up. We were supposed to rehearse and all that shit. But like from performing, like it's one thing when there's people there that know your songs and there's people there that's like hype with you, especially when you like smack, because that shit is a different vibe. But nah, for real, bro. But when you see somebody perform with a live band, it's almost indescribable. Like you have to be there to understand what's going on, because they're literally transferring their energy, their emotions through the instruments, through sound waves into you. And like once you guys both get in tune, that shit is magical. Like honestly and truly, it's a vibe. Like we were saying earlier. So me personally, like, I love live instruments. Like I rather the live instrument feel. I get the benefits of audio or like computer production, because like an 808 and Heartbreaks and all that shit, you're not getting that. You're not getting that with just live instrumentation. You might get that, but you're not getting the same feel, because all the synths and all that shit. You feel what I'm saying? You're not getting that. So like I get that there's benefits to it, but that comes to the time when you're like, you're fucking with people that are masters at it. So it's not that you're just a 13-year-old kid that looked it up on Google how to make a beat and you found a bunch of apps or plugins or whatever and you did it. You feel me? Like, it's someone who literally meticulously took the time to figure out timing and different things and figure out where this sound fits into this beat and how it's going to transfer from the sound that just came before. You feel me? Like, when you get to that specific level of it, then I have a greater appreciation for it, because someone who's going to take the time out to do that definitely is trying to speak to the person through the music, like you were saying. And if anybody that puts hard work and effort into any craft that they're doing, I respect and I appreciate it, because at the end of the day, I'm the one consuming it and I don't want to be consuming bullshit. You feel me? You are what you ingest. Like real shit. So I appreciate live instrumentation, but I see the benefits of audio production. And yeah, we had some incredible songs come from just straight up audio production. So you gotta, it's with everything in life, there's a balance. You gotta balance it out. You feel me? Like you gotta take the good with the bad and just balance out the shit. Really. That's my best take on it.
Yeah, 100%. Now go ahead, man.
It's crazy that he said that, because with balance, you can do both. You know, there's bands doing it. There's different artists that's doing it where they're merging audio producing with live instruments. So like, say for instance, you have even drummers, like my favorite drummer, Travis Barker. He uses a lot of 808 during his live performances. He does a lot of, you know, what do you call it? If it's not the 808, it's the Roland pad, where there's different sounds and everything coming out of that. So it's really being put within the live band, but also coming from the drums, from the percussion, from the different dynamics that's being put out there. So if you can manage to put both of those and merge them into one, that's amazing, man. And you have Tony Royster Jr. He's played for Jay-Z. He's played for, the list goes on, but for the most part, he is amazing with what he does with the 808. It's live drums, and you add that 808 to the boom. That shit is no joke. That shit, like, it adds that whole, like, it makes your heart stop. Like,
yo, seriously. Why is that 808 so accurate just now? I feel like I could go back and sample that.
It's real, bro. It's real.
So I was reading the chat, and like I had to look over. I was like, "Yo, did you press a button or something? Like, where did that come from?" I was super angry. So in the chat, real quick, Eyeline Zion says, "Instruments require talent, take time, but computers are easy to get, and anyone with who can work in Nintendo can make a great beat or whatever." And he also asks, "When's your next show?" And shout out to Second Kyrie for tuning in.
Got you. My next show, I'll definitely post it up. I don't have anything booked right now. I'll definitely keep you guys posted on that. But you'll see more within this month or within August. So stay tuned, guys.
Make sure y'all go follow him too, man. Shout out to everybody that's tuned in on IG, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope. We watching all you guys. Make sure you share the show with your friends and go to QualityTimeNetwork.com. If y'all go to QualityTimeNetwork.com, this time y'all taking to watch right now, you could start getting paid for it. So go over there and turn your time and attention into cash, boy.
Wow.
Boy.
But I'm gonna have to disagree with you on the Iron Line Zion. He's the computers are easy to get, but you still need to learn a lot when it comes to making beats. Like, granted, you got like Fruity Loops that'll still count for you and stuff, but like something we were talking about earlier is knowing BPMs, knowing keys, knowing what sounds go together. Like, you can't clash certain types of synths together. You can't put certain sound effects on certain instruments. Like, I'm not gonna throw a reverb on an 808 because it's just overkill at that point, right? You know, so it's still a lot of, I think in both measures there's a lot to learn. Instruments I feel are more physical that you have to learn because it's more muscle memory. And I think computers are more of learning how, how to work something. He says, but it takes years to barely learn the basics of the piano, though, bro. I don't know, man. If you dedicated to it, in my opinion, if you dedicated to it, you could learn it in about a month, man. You could learn an instrument in about a month. Basics.
It's true.
Basics.
It's true. It's true. Because and another thing is too, a lot of people don't know that the same keys on a piano is the same as the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just different ways of playing it. And it's just how you play it, right?
It's just laid out differently. And it's the same thing that's on a saxophone. It's the same thing that's going to be on a trombone. Right. It's on anything. I don't know. You know, on a computer, though, you got to learn your program. You got to learn your plugins. You got to learn how to mix. You got to learn how to EQ.
Aside from just learn, because we all could have the same set of instructions, but mm-hmm. you still got to build it yourself. And like, you're going to have your own spin on it. So, man, just because Google says how to do it, don't mean you're going to be able to actually accomplish it. You feel me?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't take credit away from it just because a computer is involved, because it's not like AI where the shit is building it for you. Like, you still got to learn. So I give him credit.
Shout out to Ocean Wars for tuning in. Shout out to Chad for tuning in.
He said, boy.
Basically an afternoon on Google. Got it.
Yeah, you stupid.
Man, honestly, I learned how to play the harmonica in about 2 to 3 days. I'm not even like fronting. Like, it was one of the easiest instruments I picked up. I forgot how to play it now. It was somewhere in my room. I don't know where. Somewhere.
Man, I learned how to DJ for about 2 to 3 months, nigga. I got the mixes to show for it. You feel me? Like, so, like you said, with dedication, you can figure shit out, man.
But I think the biggest thing is mastery. And that's right. What it comes down to. For example, Anthony has mastered the drums. You have mastered it. I've mastered DJing. Mar has mastered rapping. We have all become masters in what our musical field is. And that's the hard part, because there's a learning curve on anything that you're going to learn in life.
Oh, my God. Yo, my first song, first and foremost, the first song I ever did, my face was swollen. Nigga, I just took my tooth out.
Hi, Kanye.
They had me in there looking like, yay, bro. But my first couple songs, nigga, like, I kind of cringe sometimes. Like, maybe one or two of them, I kind of cringe when I hear this shit. And I'm like, yo, how? Like, first and foremost, I get why I made it, but I was like, why were you so hard on yourself? Like, what formula were you trying to follow? Why weren't you just having fun, my nigga? Like, you feel me? Like, it's kind of crazy. So there's a learning curve on everything, and once you get it down, you realize, like, yo, this is hella simple. Look at this. Yo, bro, I used to be like, yo, first and foremost, I can't say nothing stupid. Fuck that. Like, you feel like, bro, like, really serious. Like, nah, I can't go out there with no bullshit. Every bar gotta be this, that. Like, man.
Nah, it's just funny because, like, I remember my first studio session ever, son.
Oh,
I went so hard. I brought everything with me. I brought Sharpies, pens, pencils, Tylenol. I was like, yo, I heard they get headaches in the studio, so I got to bring some Motrin with me.
Nigga went different, bro. That's... Nigga read a manual before he went in the studio and just brought everything, bro. You're crazy.
So I know what you mean, bro. I was one of those guys that went super hard, went in the booth just spitting like, rah, rah, rah. And then... Like, I look back at that stuff, and I'm like, yo, it wasn't about that. It was about having fun, man.
Facts. About- yo, hold on. I think Ant froze up.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Hold up. BRB.
Be right back, guys.
Everything good? I'm good.
All right. As you can see, this man was not lying.
Yo, legit, I'm about to start walking around with this thing again.
Oh, my God.
Yo, bro. I'm going to be the dude pulling up to the barbecue playing the harmonica in the cut.
Bro. Yo, this nigga gave me something else.
Yo, we're going to open up every episode with that.
On some Chappelle Show shit.
Oh man, but you know why I'm gonna walk around with this? Because I love music, and winners win, and losers lose.
I was about to say nobody gonna hit a man with a harmonica.
Yo, what's up, Cooler Than Mints? Thank you for tuning in. What's CC? What's up? Queens does get the money, and Queens got the harmonicas too. But let's hop into this next topic real quick.
You trying to run this video? Yo, matter of fact, let's introduce the topic. Number Treso. Is Treso a word? I don't think so.
But what language that is, bro?
Treso. Nigga, like cheese, three cheese. I don't know. But Queens get the money. No, they don't. All right, winners and losers. So there was an interview that Rick Ross did with Charlamagne Tha God. Yo, shout out Charlamagne Tha God, though. He really been on his shit lately. Like, he been getting some ill hot takes. Yeah, he been getting some ill ass hot takes, bro. Every fucking word. That Schoolboy Q1 was ridiculous, dude. Like, that Schoolboy Q interview was amazing. But we got a clip of him talking about what separates winners and losers. So we want to go ahead and run that for y'all real quick. Roll them up. Not
initiative. Mm. That's what separates to me, the winners and the losers, because it's a lot of great, talented people that's losing.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you're a loser. Like, you're losing.
As they say, a hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work.
All the time. All the time. Because if you're not going to take the initiative, that's what separates a winner to me. Because it's the, you know, we could create anything. Anything we want to do, we could do it. But are we going to do it?
Word up.
Are you going to get up and drive and sneak in the club and say, yo, let me introduce myself? Like, damn, you went to a, you know what? You got to respect that. And if you keep that type of energy around you, who going to take the initiative?
Absolutely.
If you building this brand, this Charlemagne brand, every time somebody that's out and about, oh, I seen, what's it? Did you rep? I need you to rep every day. Wherever you at, you got to rep. If you team Charlemagne, you got to rep that shit wherever you at.
Yup. So that was Mr. Rick Ross going in. He just went off in that video. He was like, yo, y'all all losers, son. That's what I got from it.
You're a loser. Like, dogs. Like, shit. All right, I give up. Fuck it. Fuck quality time. It's over.
But you know, let's talk about it, man. What separates winners from losers, in your opinion, man? Why do winners win and why do losers lose?
I don't know. You want to start or you want me to start?
I could go off. And
no, I'm talking about Ant.
I'm like, yo, nah.
Go off. We can go off.
Ant, you go ahead, man. You take the wheel on this one.
Got you. I see it more of, I wouldn't call them losers because losers is really harsh. No lie. Somebody called me a loser, I would probably be like, damn, that really hurt my feelings.
You know? Respect.
And especially coming, no lie, and especially coming from Ross, damn, I might be like, ah, fuck this, I'm out.
I'm retired. For real.
Right. So my perspective is mainly, I wouldn't call them losers, I'll call them learners.
Mm. Or my God, you see, that's that Bronx shit. That's the, I said, yo, you don't lose, you either win or learn.
Simply. Yeah. Yeah, because it's all a learning aspect in order to become successful. There's so many times where I've even felt like, you know, I wanted to either quit or I feel like I'm losing myself or I'm not being consistent enough. And I was like, yo, fuck this, you know? But I realized you only become a learner by striving, by, you know, we lose, we fall in every shape or form. But with winners become more of, you know, if you consistent with it, if you mm-hmm. constantly grinding, bro, mm-hmm. if you just keep your, if you have that one focus and that one focus is what you're going to dedicate yourself to, that's going to drive you to where you have to be to become successful. Stay consistent, stay motivated. Don't let anybody deteriorate you from your path. And you just keep going, man. There's so many times where yo, it's true, bro, right?
Where's my sound effects, man? Honestly, I need my bip, 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 bip.
You gotta drop bombs on that. Honestly, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. The only thing is you also could hustle
still. Yeah.
You feel what of I'm course. Saying? Because you could give 110% to
but
the
you
wrong
could be doing
thing.
It wrong. Yeah.
You feel me? So it's also that's the one part of what he was saying that. What Ross was saying that I'm right. Like, you shouldn't have left that part out because he made it seem like you just grind, and you're going to make it. You're going to win. Mm-hmm. Nah, you actually got to plot this shit out. Like, you actually got to have a plan set out at least in your head. If it ain't even on paper, if nobody else knows it, you at least have to have the steps out. Like, all right, boom, I'm going to drop this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do it. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you set out a plan and you follow that, more than likely you're going to win because you stay consistent. You stuck to it. You made it.
That's exactly like, what it is. It's about, I personally think it's poor planning, poor performance, right? What is it? Whatever how the saying goes. Like, you don't say, yo, I'm about to drive to Cali and just hope that you end up there. You're gonna end up
right.
You're gonna end up in Jamaica. I don't even know how you're gonna drive there, but you're gonna end up there. So, you know, you got to have a map. You got to have a plan. You got to have a direction. You got to know what's happening. What am I doing right now? And then how am I going to do that next? Like, if I'm going to drive to Cali, I got to know I got to put gas in my car. And then on top of all of that, for me, I personally think it's something that you cannot teach somebody. And that's willpower. I think winners win because of willpower. And not a lot of people have that. And that is not something that you can teach. People, you cannot teach anybody to have willpower.
A trillion percent. Mm-hmm.
You gotta, in order to have the will to win, bro, you gotta really put time, you gotta have patience, you gotta be able to listen and learn. A lot of people, they take that as, damn, yo, I gotta fucking do this, I gotta do that, and then, you know, they're gonna go back and forth, and then they have their own opinions, but what are you really learning from that? Mm-hmm. You know, people. Like, say, for instance, you know, you got to have a team in order to make things work, you know, and no matter whatever it is,
for
clothing, music, artists, whatever it is, if you have a team and that team is pushing you to become better, to become a better person, to become better at anything that you want to do, you got to just listen to that. Take that as motivation. Take that, eat that, whatever. If it's bad, if it really hurt your feelings, eat that shit. Go for it.
Right.
Strive. Right. Don't get in your head. Because when you're in your head about certain things, bro, your mind is everywhere. Your mind is everywhere. Trust
me, bro. I feel like that everything y'all said on top of starting from the start, to me, is self-confidence. Because once you have self-confidence, then you'll have the willpower to be like, yo, maybe in 10 years, maybe 5 years, but I'm gonna make it. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that gives you the drive to do what you gotta do, and then everything else gravitates towards you. Because at the end of the day, massive objects, like, that's what they do. You have no choice. You get sucked up by their gravity. So if you feel that way, if you feel like you're a planet, then the pieces that you need will gravitate towards you. You feel me? And that's how I try to live my life. Shit, like, before, when I was doing the music, like, by myself, that's the only thing that kept me the fuck going. Because, like, at the end of the day, I could feel like I'm nice. My mans and a million people could feel like I'm nice. But if I don't, I'm not gonna really, like, give off that aura. Nobody's gonna believe me. And you gotta be believable, you feel me? So, at the end of the day, you gotta have self-confidence. From the self-confidence, you got to get a drive. From the drive, you got to get focus. And from the focus, you got to prepare. After you prepare, follow the plan. Execute. Like, yeah. You feel me?
I always used to say, man, like, the people that have the biggest goals are the ones that usually you see succeed, because they have a vision that's bigger than them. You have to make the situation bigger than you, whether it be you doing it for somebody. Now, I'm not a fan of doing something for somebody else, but if it's that, or if it's saying I got to change the world because of this, or I need to put my music out because there's somebody in the world that needs to hear this. You know, I think we just know it's Anthony, but I think, you know, you got to have that. You got to have something that's bigger than you. And all these artists that do come out, Ross, Jay-Z, Kanye, always from day one, you hit them. Nipsey, you always see them getting on video talking about what they're planning on doing for the future. So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things right there. Getting ready to wrap up, trying to see if Anthony is going to hop back in this call.
Yeah, I meant to say he froze. But
yeah, we're going to get him. Oh, there you go. Yep, we got him back. Hey,
we back.
We back.
my phone's tweaking.
All good, brother. All good, man.
We good.
Yeah, but we was just saying, you know, you gotta have a goal that's bigger than you at the end of the day, something that you look at and say, I have to do this because of this. If it's changing the world or trying to influence somebody, you gotta have something there and you gotta have the willpower to do it. But you know, go ahead and getting ready to wrap up. You know, Anthony, tell everybody where they can find you at, anything you got going on, any projects, anything like that, you know, let them know.
Got you. So I appreciate you guys for taking the time out to enjoy the conversations. You can find me on Instagram at anthony.anderson.drums. Facebook is Anthony M. Anderson. Twitter, I have it all. Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Anthony Anderson. You can Google that. Drums on Google. Everything will come up. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for the team, Reem, everybody, quality time. Thank you guys. I appreciate you guys.
All right, thank you, man, for coming on the show and spending some quality time with us, man. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Another episode of this fantabulous show. Fantabulous, is that a word?
It's a fusion word. I don't know. Fusion word. But yeah, once again, shout out to everybody that tuned in on Twitch, YouTube, Instagram. Shout out to all you guys. Remember, Quality Time Network is the only network that is out here paying you for your time and attention. Stop giving it away for free. It's very valuable. Your time is very, very valuable.
They are crazy. They got to stop that. I've been trying to tell people from 19 all along, like, bro, you got to love yourself, man. Love yourself. Come to the people that love you too. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Not in the Donald Trump kind of way. In the kind of way. You feel me?
Word. But yes, as you guys that don't know who I am on all of these streaming platforms, I am DJ Deem. You can follow me at It's DJ Deem on Instagram, Twitter, everything, blah, blah, blah. Yep, DJ Deem.
And it's your boy, Lord Sama, L-A-U-D-S-A-M-A. If you need to look, you can find me and our special guest. Your special guest. Yes. All right. It's another episode of Quality Time TV Show. Thank you for tuning in, and we are out of here.
All right. Peace.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.